Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Following up on his job speech last week, President Obama spoke in the White House Rose Garden just a few minutes ago, and he announced that he is sending the specifics now of the legislation, the American Jobs Bill, as he calls it, to Congress. Here's a little bit of what he said.
This is a bill that will put people back to work all across the country. This is the bill that will help our economy in a moment of national crisis. This is a bill that is based on ideas from both Democrats and Republicans. And this is the bill that Congress needs to pass. No games, no politics, no delays. I'm sending this bill to Congress today, and they ought to pass it immediately.
And then he announced, after the staged applause, he announced that he will be sending Congress a way to pay for it, as well as a larger deficit reduction plan. Again, President Obama from just a few minutes ago in the White House Rose Garden.
And the American Jobs Act is not going to add to the debt. It's fully paid for. I want to repeat that. It is fully paid for. It's not going to add a dime to the deficit. Next week, I'm laying out my plan not only to pay for this jobs bill, but also to bring down the deficit further. It's a plan that lives by the same rules that families do. We've got to cut out things that we can't afford to do in order to afford the things that we really need.
So President Obama, moments ago, discussing the $447 billion jobs plan. That's the official price tag now, $447 billion. And the president signaling, to some stage laughter, how he'll hope to pay for it. And, of course, it's a proposal that he hopes will help with the struggling economy. But perhaps to see a glimpse of stability and calm, Americans need only look up to the north, to Canada. Yes, last week, reports from Canadian officials were that the number of Americans applying for temporary work visas doubled between 2008 and 2010. After Filipinos, Americans make up the second largest group of temporary workers in Canada. Perhaps not surprising, given our proximity just over the border and how many Americans there are. But there's also that Canadian appeal. Canada has a much lower unemployment rate, 7.3% in August compared to 9.1% here. Canada's economy has been largely spared the economic unrest that the U.S. and Europe have been suffering through. The Canadian dollar remains strong, plus tuition at Canadian universities. It's much lower than it is in the U.S., and as we all know, the people there are exceedingly polite. So we will get back to the Obama jobs proposal in a minute, since it has also been compared in some Canadian circles to the stimulus package passed in that country in 2009. But joining me to explain the migration patterns of Americans to Canada and to explain Canada's resiliency in the economy is Jack Jedwab, Executive Director of the Association for Canadian Studies. Welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. I want to be polite as a Canadian, you know, consistent with our description.
Oh, I thought I heard a little bit of sarcasm in that answer. That's so uncharacteristic. But how did it feel today to wake up in a country with 7.3% unemployment? Pretty good?
Yeah, I think generally people are, you know, pleased about the state of the economy. Naturally, you know, we've got our own issues involving levels of poverty, as do most Western democracies. But by and large, I think that, you know, we haven't felt the same type of economic upheaval as many of the other G8 countries and the G20 more broadly.
And how statistically significant is the increase in American migration to Canada? It would be easy to make a flip joke about Mexicans sneaking north across the border to America. Now Americans are sneaking north across the border to Canada because that's where you can really find jobs. But what's actually going on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the reference you're making is to temporary workers. That was a story that seemed to circulate in some of the bigger networks in the States last week.
Right.
The numbers themselves aren't very substantial in real terms. We're talking about 30,000 people or so in a given year. I think the real issue is permanent migration. We've seen some changes in the levels of permanent migrants, people who want to take up residence fully here in Canada. to our advantage to some degree, though I think what has to be kept in mind is still over the period 1990 to 2010, if you're looking at 1990 to 1999, for every one American that comes here, four Canadians have gone to the United States. The gap narrowed in the 2000 to 2009 period from a 3-to-1 ratio, so for every three Americans come, every three Canadians that go to the States, one American comes here. And the best year we had was the year that that the recession really kicked in, was in 2007, when 20,000 Canadians moved to the States and 10,000 Americans moved here. So I think one needs to put that into context. You know, we're not seeing Americans flocking to Canada by any means, and part of that has to do with the fact that it's not that easy to get into Canada as a permanent resident, because we have a point system. We have selection criteria, and we're broadly looking for people whose economic background and skills corresponds to the needs of our market.
Listeners, Canadians, we want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC. If you are Canadian or if you do business in Canada, let us know why you think the economy is more resilient there than here since 2008. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Americans, if you are thinking of going to El Norte, Canada in this case, tell us why. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For our guest, Jack Jedwab, Executive Director of the Association for Canadian Studies at Queen's University in Canada. We have Queen's College. You have Queen's University.
Yeah.
212-433-WNYC. We'll look at our lines filling up. 212-433-9692. I guess we have a lot of Canadian Americans in our area. Well, maybe we should go over more of the basics of the Canadian economic resiliency. What's the, you know, because usually we think of these two economies as actually quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's a huge trend like what's going on in Europe and what's going on in the United States are intertwined, we talked about in our last segment, you would think that if there was a collapse of parts of the international financial system, as we saw in 2008, that it would hit Canada very hard as it hits the United States. To what degree has it not, and why?
Well, I think there are two things you can look at. Number one is our banking system is evolved very differently from the banking system in the United States. We didn't deregulate our banks. We did not extend mortgages like Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and various other institutions on that type of a scale. We're far more vigilant about extending credit, and we continue to operate the same way. I think that's one of the factors that contribute to our economy not suffering the same degree of damage that some other economies did. The other thing to keep in mind is we're a relatively oil-rich country. So you've seen a fairly big boom in Alberta, which is in the western part of the country, and for that matter in a neighboring province, Saskatchewan, very connected to the resource wealth of those two parts of the country. And the oil prices, as they rose, created a fairly substantial boom in those parts of the country. And in fact, you know, we've seen over the past 20 years a lot of migration internally within the country to those provinces by virtue of there being very good opportunities for employment.
Did the mortgage crisis not hit Canada in the same way? Was there not the same rush to give out bad mortgage loans and by individuals in Canada, by families, by people in the culture, to get so into debt and risky debt?
No, because there's been far more vigilance, both from our central banking system and amongst our national banks, politicians, including former Prime Minister Paul Martin, who was finance minister for many years, would not accept the idea of a deregulation of the banks. So there's been far more vigilance in Canada about that. Our housing prices have remained stable and risen, in fact, over the course of the period of the recession. So we've not experienced any of that situation.
I would think that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge in our construction industry. In part, the stimulus packages that we've introduced through what we call our economic action plan, which have been very directed at roads and bridges and things related, have continued alongside much investment in our construction of houses, condominiums, et cetera. There's still very high demand. And so, you know, we haven't experienced that phenomenon on any scale I'd say that likens what's gone on in the United States.
So when you talk about the regulation of the banks remaining stronger, you mean if Canadian bankers saw all the money that was being made by, you know, bundling mortgages into securities and the collateralized debt obligations,
right,
and all of that kind of stuff, Canadian law prohibited them from engaging in those kinds of transactions?
Canadian policy prohibited them from engaging in that type of activity.
Robin in Newark, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say that for 3 years, my husband and I took our family and lived in Canada. We were there for my husband's job. I also got a visa to work there, but ended up not working there, but absolutely loved it. Universal health care, even though it has its problems, I thought it was absolutely great. There were free programs for early childhood, not income-based, but for all families. The quality of life, the mothers get 1 year paid maternity, and I just really loved it. The only reason we moved back was because we didn't have family there, and we would always joke watching the U.S. news that if the people who were, you know, sneaking into the U.S. knew how great it was in Canada, they wouldn't stop. They would keep going.
All right. Tribute to Canada from Robin in Newark.
Thank you very much, Robin.
We're glad to have you back, though, Robin. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks.
Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. So I've lived in both Canada and the U.S. I'm a dual citizen. I'm in the U.S. right now. And one of the things that I totally agree about the banking and the mortgage, all of that, but the other thing is that there's less of a disparity of wealth in Canada, and that is partly to do with health care. It's partly to do with more heavily subsidized higher education, but just in general, the tax policies and that lack of disparity of wealth or the less disparity of wealth, I think really protects the whole economy as well as individuals against the downturn.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some truth to the fact we have different tax policies. For example, the recent discussion in the United States where the president has suggested that we need to tax the wealthier segments of the population more heavily is something I think Canadians would be very supportive of. In fact, with respect to the earlier issue mentioned about universal health care, when we watch debates from Canada and the Tea Party and so forth relative to such issues, we're actually wondering what's being put in their tea.
Thank you for your call, Michael. So since this started with the report that temporary work visas being given to Americans are on the rise, more Americans are migrating to Canada as temporary workers. How do Americans apply for visas to work in Canada? For those in the audience who may be interested, is it difficult?
I don't think it's difficult to apply for temporary visa to get work here, provided, again, that the work that people are seeking is available. It's got to, you know, correspond to some conditions in Canada based on some need we have here within our economy. There's been a lot of talk and historically about issues of brain drain and concerns that, you know, Canadians being attracted to come to the United States, and Canadians continue to want to move to the United States, but the ones that do so are the ones that are economically very stable, so that by and large they're moving to Florida or California or New York. They're not people who are economically in a challenged position and are looking for employment elsewhere. And similarly, the Americans coming here are the ones also that are well-educated, economically stable, middle income usually, looking to improve prospects here, not because they're in dire need of employment or in a difficult situation. The ones I'm hearing that are in difficult situations in the States that are moving back here are very often people who were Canadians who were attracted to going to the States, didn't realize their economic dream there, and have come back to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Just one thing before you go. Last week, the Canadian Finance Minister, Jim Flaherty, who is in France at the Group of Seven finance meeting, commented on President Obama's $447 billion jobs bill that we heard him unveil just a few minutes ago. He said the president's plan looks a lot like what Canada did in January 2009 to combat the credit crisis as it appeared in Canada. And I know you're not an economist, you're an immigration expert, but can you give us a crash course on the Canadian version of the stimulus program?
Yeah, we've had a stimulus program in place, very directed, as I mentioned earlier, at road and bridge construction and improvement of our routes and related projects. I think the initial investment was something like $62 billion. It's projected that it created some 220,000 to 300,000 jobs, which is quite substantial for the size of our economy. you know, by all intent, for all intents and purposes, you know, it does seem successful. The only problem is if you're living in some of these cities where we funded these big infrastructure projects, it's becoming increasingly difficult to get around.
Jack Jedwab. He is Executive Director of the Association for Canadian Studies at Queen's University in Canada. That was really, really interesting. I think an eye-opener for a lot of people down here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up next, Google buys Zagat. Is it a cry for Yelp? Stay with us.